ABC Radio Australia.
The Pacific could become the preferred site of rocket launches and satellite installations. And that's because of the geographic and political advantages of the region that make it perfect for space-related activities. So what could the stratosphere above us in the Pacific look like in the future? To find out, we're joined by astropolitics researcher Marcel Sanmarti from the New Zealand Institute of International Affairs. Good morning to you, Marcel, and welcome to Pacific Beat.
Good morning, Priyanka, and thank you for having me in your show.
Now, I'm fascinated by your research. Can you tell us, what role do you think the Pacific will have in the future of satellite and rocket technology?
Yes, it's quite fascinating because, like, when we think of, you know, like the politics of outer space, we keep thinking of the Cold War and, you know, the United States and the Soviet Union, and nowadays, you know, like China and the United States. But, you know, like this sort of stuff has been going on in decades, but it's becoming more and more plural. And the very interesting case of the Pacific is that it could be, well, it's a place where you can launch rockets from because there's much less pollution, meaning like there's much less airwave pollution, and, you know, like there's less traffic when it comes to airplanes going around. So, you know, that's quite an advantage, especially when it comes with the weather. You know, there are less clouds. You've got a better weather. So, you know, it's much better to launch a rocket from a place like that.
And when you say rockets, you know, my mind immediately goes to, you know, warfare and weapons. But I understand this is also used to launch satellites and things that are for the advancement of, I guess, science. Can you explain what sort of rockets and what sort of technology is being launched and can we see being launched from the Pacific?
Yes, actually, it's very interesting because, as you're saying, we've got that image of, you know, like space having like huge rockets, you know, like to bomb the Earth or something like that. And that's the origin of it, in fact. But, you know, we've got the new space economy. It's something like a snowball that keeps growing. You know, you've got more and more demand for satellite services, let's say Tinder. You know, like you feel lonely and you want to find someone and you're using that app. But, you know, that app is using a satellite, a GPS, that is tracking other people in your area that want to meet other people. And that's just one example. Also, you know, with climate change, we've got satellites taking pictures of places. And here, especially in the South Pacific, that we've got, you know, like volcanic eruptions like the ones in Tonga. So you can take a pictures of places that need help, and that has been of a great value for the region.
And is it, you know, when it comes to Tinder or these GPS uses, are these being launched? Because I understand it's private companies, you know, I've seen Elon Musk's company, is it Starlink, that's been launching satellites in the Pacific? Are there other examples? Is it these private companies that are launching these satellites and bring this technology to the Pacific?
Yes, there are quite a few examples. And of course, like SpaceX, it's the big name out there. But here in New Zealand, we've got a company called Rocket Lab. In fact, the New Zealand Space Agency was just created back in 2016 to allow the activities of this private company. It's quite interesting because commercial space is having sort of a boom. Because like prices have been decreased as we've got more and more demand for satellites. You know, internet connection is another one that can relate quite a lot to the South Pacific. You know, most of the islands are connected through those huge cables, submarine cables. Mm. But as you know, like sometimes those cables break down because of earthquakes or volcano eruptions. So as in the case of SpaceX providing internet to those areas that lost the connection, you've got also startups in Papua New Guinea or Cook Islands that they're using Wi-Fi technology powered by solar panels. And, you know, like there's smaller companies, quite smaller than SpaceX. But, you know, like that's why I think there's going to be a demand for more and more satellite service in the Pacific. And that's why I think more and more companies are going to you know, like keep an eye on what's going on in the South Pacific.
Yeah, very fascinating. I mean, and your research has also talked about the registration of these satellites. You say that like ships, satellites are becoming increasingly registered to Pacific nations. Can you explain a bit about that, the flags of convenience for these satellites?
Yes, actually, when it comes to outer space, it works a bit like international waters. You know, like when you've got a ship, you need to have a flag on that ship, otherwise it's going to be signed as a pirate ship. So, you know, you need to register also the objects that are in the outer space. That's under one of the few laws we've got in outer space. It's called the Convention on Registration of Objects Launched into Outer Space that was registered by the UN in 1974. But the fact that you're registering a satellite, that doesn't give much information about liability issues, because back in 1974, registration of satellites was not having in mind commercial space, but rather, you know, like competitions between big powers. So now there's a kind of a void, a legal void in there that usually it's fulfilled by national laws. For example, like in South Korea, it's mandatory to have an insurance, like a third-party insurance, if you want to launch a satellite from there. But that's not the case of all of the countries, and that would be the case of the South Pacific, that, you know, laws do not specify what sort of coverage you need if you want to launch a satellite under a South Pacific country flag. And that could be interesting, especially for startups that are looking for affordable ways to reach outer space. So that's why I think like the South Pacific is going to have more and more companies like registering their satellites under a South Pacific nation. It's something similar like some internet companies and sites, I would say.
Yes. Well, fascinating stuff, I guess, to avoid paying insurance costs. We might see them register in Pacific countries. I mean, we're talking about, I guess, some of the benefits, you know, improved connectivity, improved internet access potentially from these satellites. But are there any risks to this rocket satellite industry growing in the Pacific? I mean, particularly physically having these satellites in the air above us, could that be dangerous?
Yes, that's an excellent question, because like back in the day, satellites used to be huge, you know, like the size of a Toyota Yaris or even bigger cars. But nowadays, satellites can be like really, really small. They're called nano satellites, and they're the size of a, you know, like a shoebox. But the problem is that sometimes, you know, like those are designed like to burn in the stratosphere, like not to land. But at the same time, I don't know, like, if you remember that back in the 2000s, there was a space station called the Mir, and it was supposed to crash against Earth, and everyone was, like, very scared because it was the effect of the 2000. Actually, that a huge space station is in the South Pacific. It's under the sea.
Oh.
It's in a place called Point Nemo that has, like, 22 million square kilometers, and it's between New Zealand and Chile in South America, and there are like 200 objects in there, mostly from the Soviet area. Of course, as we're going to have more and more satellites and bigger satellites providing services, for example, like Starlink has planned to have up to, I think, 50,000 satellites. And of course, if the US has Starlink, China has another one, and Russia another one. So, you know, we might end up having like hundreds of thousands.
Oh, gosh.
Of satellites around Earth.
Hundreds of thousands.
And then, yeah, and also, like, we've got an international space station that is aging and it's going to be decommissioned in the next decade. And I would say that it's also going to end up in Point Nemo